How's it going? This is Scott Fish. I co-host a podcast called the Commission Impossible Podcast with Ryan McDowell. We don't exactly go over player values or dynasty trades or potential or rankings or mock drafts, and we usually don't even have guests. We just like to talk about commissioner stuff, so that's what you get. You can learn about lots of different scoring systems, interesting rules, settings, how to set up your playoffs, how to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn, I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm laying. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade addicts pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
I am the People's Champ, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 122 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. So, we were talking before we started actually recording, though it was recording for a little bit, for, hey, those patrons, you get to hear a little bit about Yellowstone, that is a show that Brian's been watching. The past 3 days, I have watched so much TV, and my brain has gone numb from it, and I am so happy about that fact. In 2 days, I've watched 3 Harry Potter films, because I am over halfway finished with the last book. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm about to finish the books, so I might as well watch the movies now too, right? And I really like them. I love anything that is sci-fi-y in the least. Like, I love other world stuff and mix it in with the real world, and that makes it kind of a little cooler. Like, yes, it's a little outside of our peripheral vision and exists and we don't notice. But man, so many cartoons and TV shows, and I love distraction. And that's what we're here for, right? Fantasy football. I mean, that's all it really is. So how was your guys' weekend, I guess, now that I've just rambled for 2 minutes?
That was good, man. It's hotter than crap here. It was in the mid-90s, which just to me is hell. I don't like that temperature. So, and I had an outside wedding Saturday that I had to DJ, and it was just crazy, just dumping sweat. And then Sunday, because that time stuff takes a lot out of me at my age, so Sunday I didn't do a damn thing. Later on, slept in the hammock and fell asleep like 6 different times. Like, it was just a lazy ass Sunday. So
if I had to look professional at an outdoor wedding, I think I'd have like sponges in my armpits. Like, that sounds awful. I mean, I'm glad you had fun, I'm sure. But
oh, I did. We had a great
outside
time.
Just terrible. How about you, Brian?
Yeah, very similar weekend this weekend to last weekend. I was camping in the middle of the woods with no cell phone service. And it was fantastic. So, we didn't have a chance to talk about this yet, literally for a couple weeks, but, I bought a camper. Our family bought a camper. So, we had been camping a lot this summer, and with COVID and the uncertainty around being able to take trips and do vacations and different things like that, we just decided to bite the bullet and keep making memories with the camper in the middle of the woods.
Now, is this high end luxury camper, or we just need a way to get into the middle of the woods and something over our heads to sleep in.
More that. Yeah, we bought, I mean, we bought a pop-up, so it's, you know, it's a tent with a hard roof, basically. You know, I mean, anybody who knows anything about camping, that's kind of what a pop-up is. It's a trailer, but it's the two ends pop out for the sleeping quarters, and they're kind of a canvas material with screening and stuff. Kind of cool. But yeah, it's great. I mean, and it's a way to get into RVing essentially, without paying a ton of money. Like, we bought a used one, that was in really good shape, and we figure, you know, we'll use it here for a couple of years and, get a lot of nice use of it out of it, and then probably sell it for hopefully close to what, well, probably it'll probably, no, honestly, I mean, it'll probably, they really hold their value well, which is strange, but so we'll probably, you know, use it a couple of years and sell it for $500 less than we bought it for, and then maybe upgrade at that point. But yeah, no, we're excited about it, and we've been out. My daughter, who's 3, she loves it. I mean, she just thinks it's the greatest stuff in the world. So, yeah, so that's what we did this weekend, and we're going back out again this weekend. So it's kind of been like a whole month here in August. We've been camping. And then I also have my home league draft on Saturday night. So,
nice.
which was fun. It was a little bit different. We usually get together in person, but, this year we didn't. We had a Zoom call and did it that way, which was a little bit different, but yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah. I have one next weekend, next Saturday, which is going to be Zoom and Google Sheets. Mm-hmm. So it'll be close as possible to having fun. But I, when I asked the question, I absolutely knew the answer of what your camper was going to be, but I loved the vision in my head of Brian going like glamping, with like, full queen size beds and air conditioning and Wi-Fi and big screen TVs, but like only his wife and daughter, but him be like, guys, we're supposed to be outside.
So we do have a couple of those things. I mean, we actually have one of our pop outs is actually a king size bed, which is outstanding. Ooh. Which I did not get to sleep in. My wife and my daughter took the king, and I slept in the double on the other side, of course. So
sounds about right.
Yeah. And we do have air conditioning, which is fantastic. It's something that doesn't typically come on pop-ups, but this particular one that we looked at ended up having it. So we kind of lucked into that, but no, that's as far as it goes. I mean, you know, we do have electric hookups at the campground, it's a camp that my wife's family has about 30 minutes from here, that we all go hang out at quite a bit together. They bring their kids and we bring our kid, and they love to get dirty and there's so much dirt, but it's great. It's really a good time and good quality time, kind of disconnected, and the conversations that are had kind of are, you know, you really get into some good stuff. It's quality time. So I really appreciate the opportunity to have that time with my family and to be out there disconnected from everything. And then I enjoy Sunday evenings and Mondays when I can get back into Twitter mode and, you know, start talking about fantasy football again. So.
All right. Speaking of, let's start talking about fantasy football.
Yeah.
Brian, hit us with the news.
The news.
I mean, I have one thing written down, but it's still like a big deal, I guess. Brandon Ayuk tweaked his hammy, and I saw one thing that said that he might be out for like a month. I don't know if that's real. It was only one thing, and it wasn't by a person with a check mark, so it could have just been made up. But especially with the Debo news, and Ayuk had that spike in value, I feel like it was worth bringing up, because that it's hard for me to feel bad for the 49ers being a Seahawks fan, but as a fantasy fan, that kind of sucks. I think we all know wide receivers aren't the main part of the San Francisco offense, but still it makes it easier to be like, okay, we're just going to go 9 people on Kittle, 2 people on the running backs, and we'll call it a day. Like, that's all defense has to do at this point.
Kendrick Bourne season, baby.
Kendrick Bourne season. No, I mean, probably he might catch a couple of touchdowns. I keep joking that it's Jordan Reed season. Cause I don't know why I love that signing, though. I hope the man, I don't know why that guy decides to keep playing after like 13 concussions, did anybody have any news that I missed otherwise? I really can't think of anything.
No, just a bunch of small injuries. Nothing too crazy, it looks like.
Yeah,
I know, I'm going right through the injury channel. Just a lot of little ones, little couple day here, couple day there type thing. Yeah, typical. It's going to be weird, I think, to see how this. I hope that, you know, they don't start playing and just all of a sudden everybody just starts dropping like flies because they don't have, you know, the full contact the like they normally do. And I don't know. It might be kind of weird. So
it is also weird because usually when they have like the rookie only stuff, then they have OTAs and then they have like their real practices. There's always like a string of torn ACLs that first week. And we haven't really gotten that. There's been one or two, but like, It makes me, like you said, it makes me scared for that first week where every defensive lineman is going to push off to go make that rush and it's going to end up breaking their knees kind of thing. And the season's just going to be so weird and I don't really know how to internalize it. So I'm not even like trying to convince myself it's going to be normal because I know there's no way it's ever going to be, but I hate not knowing. Like even if it's a bad answer, I like having an answer. So every week I think I'm just going to be terrified. mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's it for the news, which I guess, again, is a good thing, right? Because we're sitting here waiting for preseason injuries, and I guess technically there's no preseason, but before the season injuries, and I'll take minor stuff all day. All right, we only have one Trade Addicts trade, but before we get into that, I want to answer a question that we technically didn't get as a listener question, but it's something I want to address because it's something I address, even though I just used that word, many times in the offseason with people that DM me questions about trades. Now is when you trade for need. Now you worry about your RB2 position. Now you worry about your wide receiver depth. It is now, 2.5-3 weeks before the season starts? Now you start making trades where, okay, maybe you give up a little wide receiver value to make sure you have a second running back on your team. Now you can start doing that. 3 weeks ago, you did not need to worry about that, and a lot of people still are. This trade is not that whatsoever. We only have one Trade Addicts trade, which might as well just, Brian, hit us with the Trade Addicts trade.
Trade Addicts trade!
I'm so ready for the season to start because, man, I need, like, activity. It is so hard to get trades done right now. Ugh. This trade, Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 points per reception for tight ends, 0.05 points for return yardage. We never did the interview, Dwight, so don't forget that. Remind me when we're done with this. But I already did the spiel for the Trade Addicts trade, so we're going to do it. So this one was Trade Addicts 8, and this was Rob Gronkowski, 2 22 seconds, 2 22 thirds for 22 first. I remember staring at this being like, what? Okay, I guess, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I have to imagine this trade is done not even caring what the 22 class is going to look like, which, I mean, we have a wonderful person on here if we really did have to ask that question. But since this is a super flex league, I mean, I could at least think of two quarterbacks coming out in 22, at least I should be coming out in 22, right? Dwight?
Right.
So, like, so maybe firsts are worth a couple of seconds, couple of thirds, and man, Gronk, if he even has 1 year's worth of value, I don't have much hope. So honestly, I think I would just send a bunch of okay for a first. But also, that is so many pieces to make trades with later on, like the multiple seconds, the multiple thirds. So I kind of shrug my shoulders at this. Does anyone have any strong feelings about, not necessarily this trade specifically, because it's, but the idea of trading like multiple seconds 2 years out to get a first, like, is the idea of just getting a first that much more important to you, Dwight?
See, I normally would never trade a first that far out because I don't know exactly what my team's going to do that many years. You know, we got this year and next year, you know, that could be like a first overall pick, you know, so I would never trade one that far out. I do love the other side of that though. Like you said, having all those pieces that are probably going to just increase in value over time. It's an odd trade. I guess the guy just wanted, I don't know the motivation. Maybe he wanted Gronk. I'm not sure. It's kind of a puzzling one in my book, and I would shy away from it. I don't even like trading it all that far out, especially first, but it's kind of an odd one. But I guess I can see both sides. If you want that first, why not? You know, the guy's willing to give it up. I think it's probably fair, a pretty fair trade, I would think. Yeah.
Cautionary tale for trading 2 years out firsts. And I can say this because it was me. Before last season, when 21 picks first became available, and I was going on about Jerick McKinnon, and now he's going to come back and be the greatest thing ever. Brian's like, all right, I'll give you Jerick McKinnon for a 21 first. And I'm like, okay. So I gave him my 21 first, and that did not work out well for me. And now I'm sitting here.
McKinnon hasn't played.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here trying to rebuild that team just because I have a problem with getting bored. We did a second chance dispersal, and I'm like, okay, sure, I'll do it. So now I'm trying to rebuild a little bit. So I'm trying to get that 21 first back from him, and he is away every weekend without cell phone reception, so he doesn't like answering my trades. And then he just goes one day and just rejects all of them. He's like, no, they were good. I just didn't want to do them.
You'll learn your lesson. Learn your lesson, son. I will reject them regardless.
But I will say, I was half joking with that little, I mean, that did really happen. But I am all about trading away 2 year first out because, like I was saying, you have so much time to go get them back. And if your team does end up being bad, you can go get yours back. Or on the better chance that your team is hopefully good because you're listening to our show and we give great advice, you go get someone else's. And it's just there's so much time and it takes a while for someone to be like, whoa, that's a first. I don't really want to do that. Like there's people like you, especially A, more conservative traders, or B, people that know college a little better and have an idea of what's going to happen in the 20, you know, we never really know what's going to happen, but you know, a core couple of people that are definitely coming out and you could be like, I kind of think I like what's going to be happening. So I'm going to hold on to that. And then you have me that's just like, okay. So like, I think there's so much time in between that. Okay. Jerick McKinnon was the wrong bet to take, but he'll come back this year and he's going to be great. It's still going to happen. Jet for life. Nope. Yes. Yes. Yes, it will. They don't have any receivers. They have to throw it to somebody. They're going to throw it to Jet. Brian, stop me from talking.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think with this particular deal, you asked. So we're looking at the deal, and then we're looking at the question you asked. The question you asked was, am I good with giving away two first or 2 seconds for a first? That far out. Yes, is the answer to that for me. I mean, if I can get a first out of 2 seconds at any point, I'm typically doing that unless you're coming up on the draft and you know positionally that your seconds are maybe only, you know, it's the end of the first and the beginning of the second.
201 and 202 for the 112 doesn't make a
sure. Sure. Exactly. But that far out, I mean, yeah, if I can get a first and have a first, you know, then yeah, I would be willing to do that. As far as this particular deal goes, though, I mean, I think if I needed tight end help and I thought it was going to make me a more solid contender in the field, then I would do this for Gronk. I mean, I don't really know what to expect. Would it surprise me if he absolutely sucks? No, not at all. Would it surprise me if he's a top 5 tight end? Not really. I mean, maybe a little bit.
I was about to say
just
that's
because, well, just because of the other weapons in that offense. I mean, that's the difference here. He's not likely to be the focal point of that offense because of the other weapons there, especially at the wide receiver position. So yeah, I mean, I guess I would be a little, but a solid tight end one, you know, no, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And, you know, I mean, in a tight end premium 1.75 to get Gronk plus 2 seconds, plus 2/3 for a first that far out, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much what it comes down to. Like I said, it's like, okay, that's a trade that happened. Okay.
Yep, exactly.
All right, so now let's go back and pretend we never talked about any of the things we just talked about, and I just did the intro to the show. And be like, okay, hey, weirdly enough, this is Dwight's first time on the show. So before we get into the interview, why don't, Dwight, you tell people who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do? Because you do things.
Yeah, occasionally. My name is Dwight, like you said. FF People's Champ on Twitter. I write for DLF. I have a, you know, do a lot of Debbie and IDP type stuff. Just started a video channel. on YouTube where I do prospect cut-ups and stuff. But, you know, as I kind of do a little bit of that, a little bit of, you know, kind of just a little bit of everything for DLF at this point, but trying to focus more on Devi as I go forward. And yeah, that's pretty much it. DLF, man. Right. Yeah.
You sure? Just DLF? Oh,
sorry. The Devi, Jesus. Devi Owner's Manual 2 podcast. We haven't done it in a little while, so.
Which is technically DLF also, so it's fine.
Yes, we're in, me and Peter in depression with half the college football teams not playing this year. We're both kind of, like, not very motivated to talk about college right now. So
talk about the six teams that might still play.
Sucks, man. Sucks. So.
Okay, so let's move on to the interviewee part. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
Oh, man, since 91 or 92.
Now you're old.
Yeah, I know. I was in high school.
Dwight, you don't have to take that.
It's fine. I'm 40.
He's older than we are. I'm allowed to say it.
Yeah. Just had my first grandbaby the other day. So, I'm old, man. Like I go by Pop-Pop now. So, it's all good, man.
Well, I am calling you Pop-Pop now.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. That's exciting. Thank you. Yeah, since 91, it was 91 or 92. I think I was, a sophomore or junior in high school and just heard about it and started, you know, getting scores out of USA Today. Played with, you know, just a couple guys that I went to school with. Just absolutely loved it. I think I probably went on a little bit of hiatus after high school. I went in the military for a little while but then, you know, got really full steam into it after that. As far as Dynasty, though, I think, gosh, probably 7 years, 8 years maybe. I have a hard time remembering years like that in my advanced age. So sometimes I'm like, you know, oh, you know, the Cubs won the World Series like 6 months ago, you know, but it was like 5 years ago at this point. So, you know, like it's hard. I think 7 or 8 years. And then I got heavy into it listening to the Dynasty Life podcast from Justin McCaslin and Travis May and Andrew Vachette. You know, that was like my first podcast. It really kind of opened up my eyes as to how big fantasy football really was, you know. So that kind of I joined a league through Fantasy Life app, I think, with Justin, and then kind of found, you know, that little niche there, the Dynasty. And then I play a very little redraft nowadays, just mainly like my home league and stuff. But ever since I've went Dynasty, once you go Dynasty, you don't go back, I guess. So that's,
yeah. So. Yeah, I'm still in, not including SFB, two home keeper leagues at least. And yeah. I would never in my life add another redraft league. I mean, I've been in these for like 5-6 years at least at this point, one of them even longer. And thankfully, I stopped running mine, which has been going on for 12-ish years. But I just, you know, it gets to a point where like you want, you're trying to make people have fun and they just don't want to, that you're just like, okay, guys, you know, this is more effort than what it's worth. And that's what my home league turned into, but that's not what we're talking about. Sorry. Okay. So you've been playing Dynasty for a very long time. What are some of your best and worst trades?
Oh man, I wish I could remember them. I always remember this one as one of my worst ones because I got absolutely lambasted for it. I have a propensity to make trades that are not great.
Right, let me offer you. I'm going to go offer you some trades in Olympians real quick.
You can. I get the blinders. You know, I see a player that I like and what I think is a perceived value, and then I make it. Then I get absolutely roasted in Boxer and stuff, and I'm like, what? Yeah, you know, like, I swear I liked it. One that I always remember, this was at the height of OBJ's you know, like superstardom, like a couple years ago. I traded him for Hunter Henry, Derrick Henry, before Derrick Henry was good, and John Ross. And I just got absolutely annihilated for it. It did start a little bit of a spiral, although Hunter Henry has been one of my most solid players the last couple of years, but it kind of started the downturn of that team. It was in Power Hungry, actually. I think you know that league.
Oh my God. I know that. That league scares the hell out of me.
Yeah. I destroyed my team in that league. So, it's one of those things where at the time it felt like a good trade to me. And then the more they talked about it, the more I'm like, ugh. So I can't really think of any offhand that were like great trades. I tend to, I don't know. It's not a good answer. I know I'm old. I can't remember. I could go through some here and find them, but I don't know. I can't.
I think the real answer is Dwight is just so humble. He doesn't want to brag all of the awesome trades he's made over the decade he has been playing Dynasty Fantasy Football.
I do have one on the table that I wanted you guys' opinion of. Can we do that right now or should we
Absolutely,
wait?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Yes. All right. In Red List 2, TK offered me Dalvin Cook, 4, Antonio Gibson, Kerryon Johnson, and DeAndre Swift. And I just don't know what to do with that.
I mean, if you're competing, this is what, like 0.25 points per carry? Is that what it is? Something weird like that?
I think so, yeah.
I would take Cook if you think he's going to play and you want to compete. I would easily do that. I get that Swift in like 2 years will be a thing, but if you want to win now, I think trading those...
See, I don't think I am. Yeah.
Oh, then I wouldn't do it.
I'm in the middle of the pack, I think. Hopefully.
I mean, Cook is that piece that will give you a push. It would absolutely add production. But, man, I would want to be like 80%. Like, after this trade, I'm at least making the semifinals. Like, I would, because.
No. It would make me really, really thin at running back. I would have Akers and Cook, and that's about it.
Oh, Bobby and I are kind of rebuilding. Hit us up. We have like James Conner and AP.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that doesn't can help you out.
But just curious. I've been going back and forth with it. I almost feel like I could also flip Dalvin Cook for something bigger if he starts really balling.
But yeah, I mean, that is a good price for Cook. So if he does play, then I think you might be able to flip him once points are scoring.
Right.
That's going to be the key. Does he play, or is this Le'Veon Bell 2.0?
Because, I mean, he showed up for camp and then stopped practicing, so it's a little worrisome.
And Schefter had said something, too, on that fantasy football 24-hour or whatever, that that he would have pause drafting Dalvin Cook right now. If he doesn't get a deal done. The caveat was if he doesn't get a deal done prior to the season, then he would have – a hard time drafting him.
Checking my watch out. There's not a lot of time left.
No.
No.
No, 2 weeks, basically. I mean, two and a half weeks.
I mean, I don't think I'm drafting, even if he falls to me in first rounds of redraft, I don't think I'm taking him. That's like throwing away. Like, if he doesn't play, that's killer.
Right.
Okay, well, since you are way too humble to give us any amazing trades you've made, what is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you're offering or evaluating trades? Well, you're thinking, man, we haven't had new people on the show in a while. I can't remember the last time I read these questions. We need to start having new people on.
You know, I look at it as how I want to make my team better. I don't care what trade calculators say. I might use them as a loose guideline to make sure I'm not entirely off base. But if I think I can make my team better, I definitely am a my guy type of person. Sometimes I let my heart lead a lot more than I should. And more than my mind. So that would probably be why I have a lot more bad trades than good trades, I guess. But
as long as you think they're good trades, that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always, I don't know. I don't want to say that I have like a steadfast rule or a guideline. I'm very fluid. I think like most people that have a trading problem, if I'm bored, I'll trade. And even if I don't want to, I could probably find a league that has a bunch of bad trades. I just been thinking about that. Well, there was one where I jumped in a league of Commissioner Griff's that was like him and a bunch of his buddies at home. And I went in the dispersal and I got in it and I came out with a really nice team. And they were all like, hit me up with trades, you know, and I was all so excited to be the new guy. I just started making trades. The next thing you know, I turn around, I'm like, what do I do to my team? You know, I'm like, I look at it now and I'm like, oh. And if I took a screenshot of it 4 months ago after the dispersal, I'd be like, damn, I had a decent team. Now I'm just like, crap, I have a lot of depth, you know. I tend to do that too. I tend to overvalue depth and not superstars. And it's so I'll have like, you know, 7 wide receiver twos or threes, but not a single wide receiver one. You know, and that's something that I tended to overvalue depth, which is a bad thing. You see most of the teams that win titles are guys that have, you know, 2-3 wide receiver ones, 2 wide running back ones, you know, 2 quarterback ones, you know, and not 6.
I was about to say, it's fine to have 6 wide receiver twos if you have Saquon and CMC on your team.
Right, exactly. But you don't ever see anybody that has a bunch of twos and threes all throughout their roster. You know, they'll get. Yeah.
I feel the need to bring up that we are about a half hour into the show, and I brought up Saquon before Brian did.
Well, I was about to bring him up because I'm looking at something that's making me pretty sick, but I'm just going to send it to you in a private message so you know how badly I'm tilting right now and yet still somehow maintaining composure.
You don't want to call someone out?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
It's in your chat now. Your group me.
Okay. Okay, well, that is our interviewee process. Well, I can't really talk. Brian, hit us with a listener questions.
Listener questions!
Well, you're so upset because this guy has CMC way over Saquon?
That's two greater than signs, and that's some bullshit.
If it was one.
I mean, I don't have a problem with people who would take McCaffrey over Barkley. That's fine. Whatever. You're wrong, but that's fine. You're welcome to have your opinion. And if your opinion's different than mine, I understand I'm slightly biased. Whatever. But if you think he's two greater than signs better than Saquon Barkley, you're batshit crazy.
All right. Let me defend on the chance that it's probably just recency.
I'm going to eat you alive.
They looked at last year's score, fantasy points total, and saw that Saquon scored less than CMC, but forgot that he played through an ankle injury pretty much, but still scored pretty well. Yeah. So we're going to move on before Brian gets upset. So he said listener questions. It happened. We can't take it back. So we're going to move on. The first question we have is from @EricJohnFlynn, and his question was, will Dwight be following the People's Champs, because Dwight is the People's Champ, into trying to act or owning a defunct NFL alternative league?
Absolutely not, man. There was no desire to act, and I am far too poor to own anything. I couldn't even own a defunct NFL like hat stand or anything. So I'm too poor for any of that, man. So absolutely not. I love the question, though, Eric. So. He's in a lot of leagues that I'm in, so yeah, I like it. Kind of fun, but no, absolutely no acting, and I'm definitely not ever going to own anything like that. So
I'd watch be a fun, movie though. You were in, I mean,
it would have to be like a Broken Lizard something, Beer Fest type, you know, where a bunch of ugly people in it. So
don't you dare talk bad about Beer Fest. That's all I'm saying.
I love that movie, but I'm just saying it's a bunch of normal type actors, you know, like guys like me that could probably fit in, so...
If you're in one of those movies and you don't call me to get in there, I'm going to be very upset with you. Okay, next question is from Big Perm. He has a three-part question. Who has better hair, Dwight or Russ? And I have to put out there first, Brian, of course, replied to this tweet saying, we know it's him. And Perm was nice enough to say, well, obviously, that's why I didn't put you on the list.
Yes. That is exactly the truth, too.
Yes.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
As far as me and Russ, I would think Russ. I keep my hair really, really short, so this is how it is all year, basically.
Here's why Russ loses this. Because he actually really does have beautiful hair, and I haven't seen the beautiful hair.
I haven't left my house in 5 months, and you want me to put gel in my hair?
Put some gel in there and spike it up in there.
I don't even know if it would do anything I ask it to do at this point. It's going to take like training to get my hair to do the flip again.
We're going to have the wave. I don't know. We're going to have to maybe next year if we get to go to the Midwest Expo, if it still goes on or something, you'll have to do it for the Expo.
Oh, I mean, like once the world opens up again and I have to start going back to work, I'm going to start doing my hair again. Maybe, I guess, probably. But right now, man, I had the flu right before this started, which I am very thankful for having it before, like Corona being known as a thing, because I would have freaked the hell out if it happened in the middle. But so I was out of work for like a week and a half, and then quarantine started. So I had like a week and a half ahead of not going into work. So it's been literally 5.5 months. At least that I have not been into work. I have worn pants with a zipper once. And I was even angry about it because it was my daughter's pre-K graduation. They did it in the parking lot of her daycare. And, you know, they all kept everyone like one parking spot apart. Your kids stood like in front of your car. They walked with a microphone to do like the lid. It was very adorable, but like that is the only time I put real pants on. I've been in lounge pants and basketball shorts for 5.5 months, and you want me to put gel in my hair?
Yes.
I'm going to do it one day just to see if you notice.
It would be like, amazing. I will absolutely notice too. You know I will.
You will. Absolutely will.
It's almost long enough to get the Bosch curl. Come on. You can do it.
Oh, yeah. I do the flip up with the wave. Front. And if you can't see me, which again, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. If you were watching us right now live stream, you could see me holding my hand to my forehead with my fingers up. Like it's a, I don't even know what the hell it is. One of these things. Good podcasting. So question two, favorite format, Devi, IDP, multi-copy, two tight end, etc. This is a good question. I like this question. So Dwight, why don't you go first? What's your favorite format?
All of those combined except for two tight end. If it has Devi and IDP, I'm so super happy. Multi-copy is kind of something that I can live with or live without. I like the multi-copy leagues I'm in, but I also like the ones that are not. So, but I definitely do not like two tight end. Like, I wish we didn't even have to start tight ends, honestly. But yeah, Devi, IDP. I don't play in hardly any leagues anymore that don't have Devi, and have even branched out into more that have IDP and Devi combined. So that'd be my favorite at this point. Campus to Canton specifically is my favorite, but yeah.
Man, Devi, IDP players, like that would just,
yep.
The thought of that broke my mind.
I love it, man. I love watching the more I've gotten into football, the more I like watching college football. And I don't know. It's just, yeah, I can sit and binge watch college more than I can watch NFL anymore. Like NFL, I definitely more am watching like the red zone and stuff like that, you know, the quick hitting, more, you know, fantasy centric. Whereas I feel like college, I can just sit and watch football. Like I don't even care who's playing, you know, like it's just a different game for me. So.
So yeah. I've got a very quick question for the People's Champ.
Yeah, what's up?
So this all this IDP talk and Devi IDP. So, we don't have to elaborate too far, but how good is Micah Parsons?
Oh, he's awesome. He's freaking awesome, man. He's like, if you had a Devi IDP rankings, he would probably be in the top two or three. So he's a badass, man. He's just a linebacker that does everything in this day and age. Flies all over, makes the tackles, can cover the tight ends and backs. And he's amazing. He's definitely one of the top IDP assets. When you have a league that is mixed, you don't typically have a lot of Devi IDP players drafted, even though, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example. Like if you have 50 Devi players, you might get five of those be IDP ones. They typically still focus mostly on offense. So, because the defensive guys can come out of nowhere even more than offensive. Not, you know, there's a Joe Burrow on the defensive side, at least three of them every year. You know, they just come out of nowhere and, you know, are just awesome IDP assets. So it's definitely a little more of a, not crapshoot, but, you know, more random, I guess it feels. So
Brian, why did you ask that question about that specific player?
Well, Micah Parsons, he went to Penn State, which is 6 miles over here next to me.
For all of you guys playing Trade Addicts Bingo, check that off. Brian brought up a Penn State player, B, that he lives close to the university.
Okay. I'm consistent.
Yeah, that you are. I'm going to go next. All right, so my favorite format, I don't know if I have a favorite, but we'll call my minimum 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium. I think that's Trade Addicts leagues. I feel like that needs to happen. I am with Dwight saying I will not join a two tight ends league. I don't – like, I still can't wrap my brain around not having to start one, but I get it. But I still want that one there. Like, all of the Trade Addicts leagues are start one minimums of every position. Everything else is flex. Like, there's just too many tight ends that play, I would guess. Cool. Just like, I feel like you still need to. And it's like me holding on to kickers. Like, I feel like it's this, me saying you need to start a tight end is like me yelling at my friend who plays redraft that says we still need to start kickers. Like, they're just the same. They're just like, whatever. But yeah, I definitely won't join 210. I love bankroll leagues. I joined Pigs like a year or two ago. I joined a best ball bankroll league run by Bosch, which is wonderful because A, I like bankroll. B, I'm terrible at setting lineups. So I'm very glad that league exists. Those are a lot of fun. I am, since I'm in Pigs and Kitchen Sink, dipping my toe into Devy a little bit, which I like. I'm going to be honest. It's another trade chip. That's the word. Even if you don't like Devy, like, you know, you get your picks, you can just trade the picks away. Or if you have an early one, you take a quarterback at a super flex league and you know, they're like, that's what I did with Kitchen Sink. We had our Devy auction. I bought like four quarterbacks. Two of them, I'm sure, are going to hit, at least be first round rookie picks, in which case I'm just going to sell them for something. But like, it's all part of the trading strategy. That's all it really is. Like, that's why, even if you don't like Devy, if you like trading enough, it doesn't matter. But I do one day want to join a Devy startup. I haven't done a startup for Devy yet. Let's see. I think that's really the, yeah, that's like, that's most of everything. I feel like I should be in more leagues that are more than 12 team. Like 99% of my leagues are 12 team or the equivalent with multiple copies of 12 teams. Like, I feel like I want to be, man, I'm in the Dynasty Trades HQ 1 listener league, and it's a 16-team Superflex, which is insane. But just the depth needed for a 16-team league where you have to start, like, I think it's 11 or 12 players. Like, that's when being a good owner, like, means something. Like, being able to put a team together with that much depth and that much movement, because there's nothing on the wire at all in a 16-team league. So just, you need to make those moves to keep your team relevant through injuries and stuff like that. So that's a lot of, yeah, it's nothing super out there, but it's still just a wrinkle I think I want to add. Brian, what about you?
I like 10 team home leagues.
You don't shame. So that's good for you. I'm very happy for you.
I'm in three and I am the reigning champion in all three. So I love them.
Winning is fun, huh?
Winning is fun. No, I mean, I'm with you, Russ. I mean, I think, you know, the Trade Addicts format for me is probably, you know, that's probably what I look for. I gotta be honest. I'm not looking for leagues, man. I'm like tapped out. And I know I say that every year, but like, I've legit not really picked up very many here, this non-point scoring season. So, Superflex is the big one, obviously, for me. And, you know, I don't understand leagues that don't play Superflex at this point. But to each their own. So Superflex is the main thing. I like the tight end premium and I like it at 1.75 the way that we do it in the Trade Addicts leagues. I've dipped my toes in Devy a little bit too. I'm playing in an IDP league this year for kind of the first time, like a first time where it's like a full IDP. So I'm interested to see what that does to me. Dwight, I'm going to be probably
what that does to me.
Yeah. Whether it makes me like transition all of my league, or not all my leagues, but more into more of those leagues, moving forward. But, it was a very fun draft. So I'm interested to see how everything shakes out kind of. I hate auction leagues. Sorry.
I like having a few of them. I like the bankroll best ball league that I'm in with Bosch is called Auction Addicts.
Yeah.
I do enjoy some of them. I do not want all of them to be auctions, but I do like having a few of them.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea. But I have had horrible experiences in both of the drafts that I was in. I actually drafted decent teams, but I just did not enjoy it whatsoever.
Oh, see, getting, I have the
getting,
opposite.
Getting redlined at like, and I know it's part of the strategy and all that stuff, whatever, that's fine. Like people should enjoy what they enjoy, but I do not enjoy that whatsoever. So, so I'll stay away from that. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm kind of boring when it comes to leagues. I don't necessarily think I'm okay with more settings and more you know, crazy stuff and points for different things and penalties for different things. And I'm okay with that stuff, but I don't need it to be happy. Like, just give me a 12 team super flex league that's PPR, tight end premium probably, you know, puts it over the top for me in terms of being desirable. But that's kind of where I am. That's my like comfort zone, and it's my, enjoyment zone.
I was really waiting for Brian to give us the wholesome line of, it really just matters of who's in the league. You know, you join the league for the people, not necessarily the rules itself.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, that's it.
But that's usually the line you throw in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So his last question, he was a 3-part question. Favorite and least favorite owner to compete against in leagues.
See, I can name like a dozen that I love competing with.
Do it.
Yeah. Let's hear it. Jamie Cernica is a name that I swear every league I'm in with that guy, he just drives me nuts. He wins. He wins every trade he does. It's annoying as hell. He's competitive and he's smart. And I like watching his strategy when he does startups and things. He's a really, really good owner. I love my podcast co-host Pete Lawrence. I think he makes a lot of really smart, you know, I've never seen the guy make like a bad trade. This Rush Fisher guy, he's really good. Only in a couple leagues with him, but he seems like he makes really good trades, very active and stuff. He's pretty cool too. So I've heard some bad things about it, but anyways, we're not gonna talk about it. I'm kidding. You know, I have like leagues where I have like, I swear I have like 15 or 20 guys in like 90% of my leagues, you know, like,
yeah,
especially with all these big copy, you know, like Chris Savoda is always does good stuff. And for least favorite, he wants me to say him because I always bust his balls in Fox. Yeah. Like, I'm always like, I love everybody in this league except for you, Big Perm. And he's like, what the hell did I do? And I'm like, but he's also a very good owner, and he's a lot of fun in the chats and things. Yeah. I don't have anybody that I don't like. I mean, like Brian said, if we're in that auction and you're consistently redlining me, I'm going to hate your ass, but most likely I'm probably going to forget about it by the time the season started, you know, like I understand the red line thing, but I will never do it. Like if it's within an hour and I didn't notice it for 12 hours, that's on me. You know, like that's my philosophy.
You were way too nice. That's silly. You know?
And if you do it to me once, okay. You know, but if you like make a game of it, dude, I'm going to hate you so much, you know. So, and you see those guys that like will specifically wait to within 5 minutes and then laugh about it in the chat, and you're like, you know, I just want to stab you in the neck right now. But anyways, but you know, and I'll hate them for a little bit, and you know, we'll call them out, I'll call them out, and we'll make a rivalry game of it or something, you know, have some fun with it. But yeah, I can't think of anybody I like severely dislike. I mean, if you win a lot of my leagues, probably I'll not like you very much, but thankfully we're all pretty, you know, a lot of good owners, so I think there's, you know, I don't see anybody like running the gamut in a lot of leagues. I think we're all pretty competitive and pretty smart. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of bad stuff.
Oh, see, it's funny. I have a lot more people I hate being in leagues with than people I like being in leagues with. And it's not, of course, it's not a serious hating, but I really need to tell us. We did a live auction on Zoom for one of John Bosch's leagues. I can't remember anymore. And it's the equivalent of redlining in a live auction. You know, the bidding stops and John was the auctioneer. He's like, going once, going twice. And by the time he says going third time, sold. And it was a $1 player. I can't remember who it was. Chris Allen put him up, and I'm just like, going once, going twice. Oh, fine. $2. And I'm like, oh my God, I just redlined a $1 thing in a live auction. Chris, I'm sorry, but $3. Like, it was really like, of course it was just hilarious. Just to redline someone in a live auction on a $1 player.
And Chris is like one of the nicest guys too. Come on, man.
Like, seriously,
it's Bill Lattin. Go ahead and do it. Anyway.
Oh, Bill Lattin. I just hate him because he's too smart. Like, I'm like, dude, let me trade and let me win. How about that, Bill? And that's part of the reason I hate a lot of people, because they're just too damn smart. Like you were saying before, you're in leagues that are like 90% of the same people, which is one of the reasons I love the Trade Addicts leagues, because besides me and Brian, it's all individual people. So I know I'm in at least 8 leagues that don't have too much runover. People I hate being in leagues with right now, D-Bro. Derek is the worst. And why is he the worst? Because we like the same damn players and he has all of them. And it is infuriating. And it's the same thing with Spoonie. Who's in Trade Addicts 1, where we for years have run into the problem where we have each other's players and we just know we're screwed and we're not going to be able to do anything about it because we know what we want to pay and what we should have to pay. And neither of us want to go to that what we want to pay limit. We're like, no, this is what the guy's worth. I know you like him as much as I do, but that doesn't mean I'm going to pay more for him. I'm like, well, you're going to have to. And that's pretty much the fight we get into in both directions, and it's infuriating. People I like being in leagues with. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter at this point. And as long as you're active, I like you. And as long as you're not a dick, I like you is really what it comes down to, which means I hate being in leagues with Brian.
What the hell, man?
You were just looking too comfortable. You were like more than a 45 degree angle recline with your arms behind your head and stretched out. Like you were just too comfortable. I had to get you back to the microphone.
I'm in a good space, man.
Of course, you know, I love being in leagues with you. I wouldn't have put you in seven of them if I didn't like you.
I was going to say, if you don't like me, you got issues because, yeah, I'm in a ton of them. So,
all right. Do you feel like making fun of anybody you're in leagues with?
No, I would say so. I enjoy. Everybody enjoys J Mike as a person, right? I love being in two leagues with J Mike. He's in Trade Addict 6. We go back and forth on trades for weeks.
Yep.
Like I'll talk to him every day and we go back and forth. And a lot of times he's purely honest, and I try to be very honest with him just about what I'm thinking. And, I really appreciate that. I never feel like J Mike's trying to take advantage. I feel like he sometimes values players differently than I do, but that's okay. Again, how many times have we said on this show, like that's what makes this so much fun is that people value players differently and you're able to. And, you know, that eventually usually ends up getting deals done. So, but I really enjoy my trade conversations with J Mike. Man, as far as like not liking somebody, I mean, I will tell you there was one dude, and I'm not even gonna, I'm not even gonna say what league or when it,
yeah,
I'm not,
tough
in,
to say.
Not even in the league anymore. It was one of my first dynasty leagues that I was ever in. And, there was a guy in that league that just, he thought he knew everything and every trade. It was like this big conversation about how ridiculous the trade offer was and how this, that, and the other thing. He never won shit. I won the league the last 2 years. I was in the league 4 years. I won it the last 2 years I was in it. And then I quit the league because it was just, I couldn't take his shit anymore. Yep. It wasn't anybody that I don't think the guy's in the industry or anything like that. It was just he was just a bad owner. Or a bad manager. I didn't really appreciate it. So, but other than that, no, I don't really have, I mean, I don't really have anybody that really irks me in leagues per se anymore, which, you know, I'm also very selective about leagues anymore just because I'm in so many, so damn many of them at this point. So, So I guess I copped out, but that's typical of me.
Oh, I mean, none of us really said anybody we hate being in league with. I hate being in leagues with people that like the same players I do. I mean, that's really what that comes down to. Yeah. Like, I want to have Allen Robinson, Tyler Boyd, and Calvin Ridley on every single one of my teams. And if you stop me from doing that, I hate you.
Okay.
You.
I've got two more.
Okay.
On the bad side, not bad side. I love both of you. I really love one of these guys, and
we know you don't really dislike them. It's fine. Just go.
So Memphis,
another really good guy.
He's really good at the game too.
Yeah.
Like people Memphis is very smart. He's a very smart dynasty manager. And Riley, and they're both in Trade Addict 7. Man, we have a hard time. We've tried to work out deals with both of them, and we have a hard time cracking that. You know, making deals happen. It's rough in that league with those two guys. You know, to all their credit, I mean, it's not that they're doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
No,
we dislike them because they're good. Yes,
you're right. Exactly. We dislike them because they're good.
Just
and
let
they
us
make
win.
That's
all we're saying.
Exactly. Come on. I mean, we're nice enough to invite you in the league.
Just let us win. Okay, so let's move on to an actual question with football involved. Adam, this one's from a week or two ago. Adam B. Conley at, I think that's AltBall24. I can't read computer words. Players with the highest chance of being traded midseason based off their current contract. And he put Fournette in parentheses, which is the easy answer, right? But I pulled up a 2021 free agent tracker. So I have a lot of offensive players that are on the final year of their contract. We're not going to go into cuttable people and stuff like that. But let's go down the list. Dak Prescott. Think he's going to get traded?
No chance.
No.
He can't get signed this year. So, I mean, maybe. Nah, they're going to sign. They'll do something next year. Okay. Phillip Rivers.
No, not likely. I mean.
You didn't say no, Brian.
Not unless Andrew Luck comes back.
Which is really weird because on this, I'm on Spotrack. We need I need someone to tell me how to pronounce that. On the right side of it, it says trending players, and Andrew Luck is on there.
Well, that's because 1 year ago today was the day he announced his retirement.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, yeah. Just checking.
Yeah.
Okay, so Phillip Rivers isn't going to happen. AJ Green, I doubt it, right? Like, that dude's just going to be in Cincy until he retires at this point. It's been so long, right? Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he's got to be healthy and on the field first. So.
T. We'll Higgins see. And Auden Tate would have to both emerge.
Which I'm fine with.
By weeks.
Yeah, I think
next
they will.
Pitch.
Yeah.
Or their team just needs to be awful.
Yeah, to be, or that. Yeah, right. Yeah.
To be fair. Let's go down to Allen Robinson.
No,
if the Bears are terrible.
They could, I guess, technically. If he doesn't sign, so this is his last year of his contract?
Yeah.
If he doesn't sign next year with a good quarterback, it's on him. Like, stop signing with shitty teams, A-Rob. Like, let's go somewhere.
Look, Kansas
where
City,
somebody,
I will pay for $8. Just let me catch a ball from Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, or whatever. I mean, go with,
exactly.
You know, honestly,
veterans minimum.
I would hate this because I'm a Steelers fan. He should go to Baltimore is where he should go. It's where he's from originally.
Ooh.
And Lamar Jackson, I mean, you know, can you imagine Allen Robinson across from Hollywood Brown with Mark Andrews running the seam?
Wow, that's actually a really
Coggins
good offense.
And J.K. Dobbins catching the ball out of the backfield. I mean,
wow.
I mean, that's – but I want A-Rob. I want A-Rob to be somewhere where he has a quarterback that can get him the football.
All right. Okay, so T.Y. Hilton and Larry Fitzgerald, I really just doubt at this point because they're 100. Keenan Allen? Are they in a rebuild enough that they'd get rid of Keenan Allen? No, right? They just let him. If anything, they let him play out, right? Sammy Watkins.
Yeah. I could see Watkins getting moved.
Let's see what else we got. Hunter Henry. Nah, right? They're gonna.
No. Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski, Kenyon Drake, Marvin Jones, Kenny Stills, Jared Cook. I mean, I could see some of that happening.
Yeah.
I mean, if Troutman comes on, why hold the 34-year-old Jared Cook? If they're good, you might as well hold on to him. Kenny Stills, Marvin Jones. Yeah, none of that's probably going to happen.
I can see Marvin Jones, maybe, but it wouldn't make a lot of sense either.
Yeah. Hmm. Ooh, Corey Davis. If they can get something for Corey Davis,
please,
they're probably just
going
to let him walk anyway.
Please let him get traded.
Yeah, right? Mohamed Sanu. Willie Snead. I don't think there's a reason to trade him, but... Yeah, okay, then we're down to people.
Is Juju on the last year of his deal? Or is he restricted? Sorry.
That too, I think.
Juju Smith-Schuster is on this list, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is...
Yeah, UFA. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, the Steelers are going to trade Juju anyway, but...
Oh.
That would be epic. I'm just going to put that out there. I mean, the kid's still, 18.
20. Yeah, he's 23. I mean...
Okay, wow. So that's... I mean... I said this last show, I think it was. I'm just never going to pretend to understand or believe what GMs are going to do anymore. We knew for the past 3 years, Ertz is in the last year, and they're just going to get rid of him because he costs too much money. No, they rework him. Sammy Watkins, he is absolutely just off the team because he's making too much. No, they just rework it. The cap means nothing anymore. I this year might be weird because the cap might go down, which is, I don't remember the last time that's happened, but... Man, I'll never pretend on Derrick Henry. They're just gonna franchise him and let him walk after they run him to the ground. Nope, 4 years. I'm not gonna bother trying anymore. So I just wanted to give the list of free agents because if your team is bad in fantasy football, a good move is to go after those free agents because if they switch to good teams, it bumps their value. So those are a couple of names I guess to keep in the back of your mind for later in the season. But let's go on to our last listener question from @noobengineer_. I traded Robert Woods for a projected early 21 first and second in non-superflex. Why do I overvalue draft picks like this, and how do I stop myself from selling great players for lottery picks? In other words, did I make a mistake, even if I'm a year or two away?
Hell no.
Yeah, I mean,
That's a really good trade, I think.
The first and a second for Robert Wood. Yeah. I mean, the dude gets no respect. This is a trade that actually shows him respect, getting a first and second
right,
for him.
Yeah.
If you are competing,
you're 2 away. Yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, if I'm 2 years away, I'm probably getting rid of Robert Woods. If I am competing this year, I want him on my team because he's like 28, I think. But still, who cares? Right. Like he's still doing really well in what should be a very good offense. But I mean, the list of what should be next year's wide receivers are, I mean, we have Chase, Bateman, Moore. Who else we got? I'm blanking.
Me too. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, regardless,
my rankings.
Yeah, that's three really good, like really, really good wide receivers. Not to mention, if you want to go running back, there's Chuba, Etienne, and Najee Harris. I mean, there's
Journey Brown.
Is he going to come out this year? You think?
Yeah, likely.
Next year we got Waddle, Seth Williams, Tylan Wallace, Justin Ross, maybe Devonta Smith, Amon-Ra. Yeah, there's some potentially good wide receivers. Next year's class is pretty nasty.
So again, you did not make a mistake. If that makes you feel any better, if you're competing this year, if you're competing this year, you made a mistake. Let's put it that way, because you gave away a lot of production for no production. But still, those picks will have value, and you will get good wide receivers that might not pay off right away. You shouldn't depend on rookie wide receivers. But there's a couple of guys like Jamar Chase should walk into this league and be a beast. And so should Rashad Bateman. And I don't care if Rondell Moore is short. He's great. So I don't think there's anything to worry about with a lot of those guys. And the entire St. Brown family, when asked who the best wide receiver was, they all said Amon-Ra. So I hope that means he's very good also, which I hope so too, because I have him on my kitchen sink team.
We do have a little bit of breaking news.
Oh, hit me.
It's IDP, but Grant Delpit did actually tear his Achilles for the rookie for the Browns.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I just saw it's official. So it looked like it, and they just confirmed it. I know that'll make Steelers fans sad, but yeah, you know.
All right, so we were.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is. It's a tough break. One thing that I hate injuries. I mean, injuries to my arch nemesis team are still terrible. You know, these kids work so hard, or these young men work so hard to get to where they are. And then before he's even able to play a first game, he has an injury like this. That's the Achilles is a tough one to come back from too. So hopefully they'll be able to repair it and he'll be able to get back to the level where, you know, he was expected to be this year.
Is there any history of defensive players with Achilles injuries? Like, I can't even think of any off the top of my head.
Did LT have one and then he retired? Is that what took Lawrence Taylor out?
I mean, I'm from New Jersey. I should probably know that, but I don't remember that anymore. But, like, I don't know. Okay, so I was scrolling my notifications on Twitter to see if we had any last-minute questions, and we do. From the aforementioned Commish McGriff, he would like me to ask Dwight how much he misses Commish McGriff.
Oh, man, he's my boy, man. He knows he is, so I miss him a ton, man. It was a blessing to be able to podcast with him, and it kind of fell apart. And yeah, I miss him all the time, man.
Speaking of having people, he's never been on our show. Why the hell hasn't he been on our show yet?
Dude, Matt is one of the best dudes.
He is so nice.
He is such a good dude, and he is. I am going to go to Fresno. I think he's in Fresno. Is he in Fresno, Dwight? Yep. Yeah, I'm going to go to Fresno and I'm going to learn how to be a man from him. That dude is a man. I mean, so you know me. You always say I'm a man.
The dude that takes pictures of him with bows and arrows is calling someone learning how to be a man from someone else.
He is like legit wilderness survival, like hunter. Like me and McGriff we've had some conversations.
I will watch a live stream of this from my couch.
He is a great dude. Kind of guy. I'm telling you, he's a good dude.
He has some hunting videos on.
Yes, he does. YouTube, so, yep. Whoa. Bear hunting videos. Yep. It's good stuff.
Yeah, he's just genuinely just a nice, genuine person. Yeah,
and he's also part of the standard that set the record on the open bar for longest open bar episode.
Begrudgingly, only you were really going for that. Just saying. But on that note, that's the end of our show sheet. So that will be the end of our show. It is ridiculous that it took this long for, it's funny, Dwight DM'd me at this point. It was like a month ago with like in the middle of Horatist. And he's like, you should put me on Trade Addicts Pod. I'm like, you haven't been on? Like you've been on before, right? He's like, no. And I'm like, that's stupid. Okay. And then we had him scheduled and I ended up having to miss the show. So it got pushed another 2 weeks. So I am insanely happy to finally have you on, Dwight.
Thank you. And you taught me how to, you told me how to pimp myself, that I need to pimp myself out. So yeah, I got to do that. Cause I'm like, I never get asked to be on pods. And Ross is like, you asked to be on pods, man. You go out there and start hitting them up. Like, all right.
So. Seriously. Yeah. Just that's a note for everyone listening who wants to be on a podcast. Literally just go ask. I mean, my dad throughout my adolescence always used to say, what's the worst that could happen? They could say no, but I would always want to respond, but never had the guts to say like, but don't you realize how crushing that is when people say no to you? But yeah, 90% of the people who podcast, at least of the 3,000 podcasts I've listened to in the past few years, are very good people. No one's going to be like, no, I hate you. You're not coming on my show. Screw you, buddy. So like, if you want to be on a podcast, go ask. Again, the worst thing that happens is they're going to be like, you know, we're not looking for people right now. I don't think anyone's going to be that much of a dick to be like, no, I hate you. I don't know who you are. Go away. And if someone does say that to you, you let me know. I will virtually slap them in the face. I don't know who you are, I don't care.
Then I get out the people's elbow, right?
Oh yeah,
the people's elbow.
Forget buying defunct NFL alternatives. He'll go buy podcasts and shut them down.
I like it.
Oh, that got weird. All right, but like you said, pimping yourself out. Why don't you remind everyone again who you are, what you do, and hi. I hear puppies, and I see a wife, I think.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at FF People's Champ. The podcast is at Devi Manual. It's a Devi Owner's Manual. And we mainly talk about campus to Canton leagues and find the writing on DLF, baby.
Awesome. Okay, so our stuff. Well, I kind of blanked for a second. Man, I guess that's a good thing we're ending the show. I've mentioned it a couple of times. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can either watch us live stream, ask a couple of questions in the chat while we're going so we can answer some questions. Or for a little bit more, you get into the Cool Kids Club, our awesome GroupMe chat, which is Liddy City, as the kids, I think I heard them say once. Don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if they actually say it, but I think I heard it. FFpodshirts.storeenvy.com, which you can get these sweet DAP network shirts that I'm wearing right now that I just pulled over my face that I don't know if anyone could hear since my mouth was covered with a t-shirt. But man, the amount of pretty much anyone that didn't feel like creating their own store, I threw into ours. But all of the proceeds go to charity. And this is the last week of August, which means this is the last week where donations will go to the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. That's who we are going every other month. We're picking a charity. That's the one Brian gets to choose next time. Also, our awesome wristbands.
Navy, I don't blue. Have mine on tonight. I'm
You're
not
the
bad.
Worst, man. Stop taking them off.
I just took a shower and I took them off. I didn't have them on today. I'm lying. I took them off when I went camping and I haven't put them back on.
I don't know if I appreciate that you tried to lie to make me feel better about it or if it's worse because you lied about it.
Well, I corrected the lie. You know, I'm not like Bo Callahan. I don't have the balls to lie and then lie about the lie. or whatever.
$5 for each wristband. Yes. $2 of each goes to Colorectal Cancer Alliance, at least for the next week. DM Brian, because I don't want to have to deal with going to the post office these days to send them out. Ooh. At Brian Hart FF on the Twitters. Night, Brian? Night, Dwight?
Night, Out House. Night, Dwight.
Hi, guys.
Oh, he held up the deuces. He's so cool.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Hart FF. Follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.